certainly have enjoyed these wonderful thoughts that Brother Franklin has brought to us today from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I thought about a text in connection with this verse over in the Apostle Peter's writings. I might quote this verse again, Brother Frank, from 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 2, where the Apostle said to the church at Corinth, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Now, I think it's important to notice how the Apostle describes the people he's writing to. He says, "Moreover, dead alien sinners in need of salvation." That's not how he described them. "Moreover, lost world." He didn't describe them that way. Listen to how he describes the people he's writing to. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." He's writing this to brethren, and they were not his brothers in the flesh. So there must have been brothers in Christ. And if they're brothers in Christ, they're already in the family of God and saved for eternal heaven. Anybody ought to be able to see that. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Now, as I mentioned, Paul describes these people as brethren. So obviously they're already children of God, in the family of God, and saved for heaven. So when the apostle says, "by which also you are saved if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you," he must be talking about a phase of salvation here in time that you and I experience by hearing, believing, and keeping in memory the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Now listen to what he says. "Moreover," now he's an old man when he writes this. He's evidently near death. He's been preaching a long time. But he says in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things," talking about the gospel, "though ye know them and be established in the present truth." Now the apostle is saying here, I'm going to keep preaching the things that you already know. And you're already established in it. But I'm not going to neglect preaching it to you again and again and again. Why? In verse 13, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle," talking about his body, "to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." Now he knew that death was coming to him soon. And here he is in the last days of his life on earth, the last days of his gospel ministry. And what is his attitude? He's saying, "I'm going to keep preaching to you the same things I've been preaching to you all along." Why? "So I can stir up your pure mind." Why? Because the apostle knew that it was so easy for the child of God to forget the things of the gospel. And that's true, brethren and sisters. You know, this week has been a busy week for me, and I've been caught up in the obligation of moving and everything that's involved in that, and had very, very little time to read the Bible. I hate to admit this, but I guess I will, just to make the point. This morning, when I got ready to come to church, I asked Pam, I said, "Honey, do you know where my Bible is?" I hadn't seen it since Tuesday. Now, that's a crying shame that I haven't even opened my Bible to read it and study it since Tuesday. And I have suffered as a result of that myself. I have felt my own mind and stability slipping because of that. And it doesn't take but a few days for you to get out of sorts spiritually. It doesn't take long. And by the time you throw in a little work and a little TV and all the burdens and obligations of life, friends, it's not long before you and I can become very carnal in our thinking. And the gospel has then slipped away from us. And that's why we keep coming back to the house of God Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You know, I was sitting there this morning as the congregation was coming in on a Saturday, and I thought about different ones and how I was glad they were here, because I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing today. A lot of obligations, a lot of work. You could be, one lady told me she'd been working in her yards all week and didn't get through. She could be out there in the yard this morning. A lot of things that you could be doing now, but nothing as important as what you are doing now, gathering around the Word of God and being reminded of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and hopefully having your pure mind stirred up.
Amen.
It's incredible, isn't it? How you can go to church and be so full on a Sunday, your cup's overflowing, and the next Sunday it's dry as a bone. You ever felt that way in your life? Now, Brother Franklin told us about a lady that heard him preach a funeral and said she'd been waiting 50 years to hear that and hadn't been back since. Now, either Franklin preached such a marvelous sermon that it's lasted her all this time, or else she wasn't quite as hungry for it as she thought she was. You know, I've run across some barrel Baptists in my life. They take a barrel with them to church, and they get it full, evidently, and it lasts them for a whole year, and they come back next Easter to fill up their barrel again. But I know, you know, most of us ought to be cup Baptists. You know, we get just enough to get us down the road a little ways, and we have to come back for more. Oh, my friends, it's incredible how the world out here and the obligations of the workplace can drain you and draw your mind away from the glorious gospel of the Son of God. And you know, I tremble to think today where I would be and where you would be were it not for the daily and constant influence of the Word of God in the church in our lives. Now, we need to have our pure minds stirred up. So here's an old preacher saying, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." A faithful preacher is not one that's coming up with something new all the time, trying to keep from being a has-been. You know, sometimes you have preachers, and George's had some problems with them in the last few years, coming up with strange ideas, new twists and distortions and perversions on the Word of God. And such as the idea that Jesus Christ could have sinned if He had wanted to, that He was not impeccable. Or redemption took place in Gethsemane. Wild things. Crazy distortions of the gospel of the Son of God. And you wonder, why do these men do this? We are to preach those things which are most surely believed among us.
Amen.
And I thank God for Brother Cecil Daugherty, who for so many, many years has been preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and has never deviated one inch from the old doctrines of the church. He may come up with new illustrations to teach the old gospel, but thank God he stood like the rock of Gibraltar down through the centuries of time, or down through his lifetime. And we've had preachers, godly men, faithful men, who have stood down through the long centuries of the church and have not experimented with new ideas and new programs and new theories, but have been happy to preach the old-time gospel in the spirit of a resurrected Christ. And that's what the church needs today, brethren and sisters. It was good enough for Mama and Daddy, as the song says, and it's good enough for me. And what we need is to have it preached on a regular basis to have our pure mind stirred up. So, the apostle says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Now, you know, a preacher needs to study to show himself approved of God and come up with new and fresh ways of presenting the gospel, better outlines, and we ought to be growing in our ability to communicate. Sure, that's something a preacher ought to be committed to. It wouldn't be fair. It's not necessary to come and preach the same old sermon out of the same old text every Sunday when you got a whole Bible full. You know, preachers need to study and they need to be able to preach the gospel in a wonderful way. But we don't want a new gospel. The apostle says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Hey, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Why? Because the apostle Peter knew what the apostle Paul knew. That you'll be saved by this gospel if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you. Listen again to this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." You know, friends, the child of God can be saved from depression if he keeps in memory the glorious gospel truth that Jesus is our friend, and that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'll tell you, when you remember that, it saves you from despondency and melancholy. I maybe have told you about the story I heard some years ago about a woman in New York, I think it was, who had her husband had abandoned her, and her child had died, and she didn't have any money, and it looked like life was nothing but a dead end. And so she decided to take her life. But she had turned the radio on to drown out any cry for help at the last moment. And, what a sad time it was for her. And she had turned the gas on in the room, and just as she laid down, a beautiful voice came over the radio singing, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." And in that hour of loneliness and depression, she found help to carry on and to overcome the burdens and the depressions of life. Now see, I forget sometimes that Jesus is my friend and that he's a wonderful friend. And when I forget that, I can get down and out. But you know, when we keep in memory what we've heard about Jesus Christ, oh, how it saves us from those hours of loneliness and despondency. So many other things that can save us if we keep in memory what we've heard in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I hear the gospel preached that I'm going to reap what I sow in this life, oh, you know, my friends, that'll save me from going out here and getting involved in sins that I know will come back to haunt me in my life. There are many ways that the gospel can save the child of God in this life if we keep in memory the things which have been preached unto us. And we need to have our minds stirred up constantly over and over again. And I want to say this before I sit down this morning. My beloved, if you and I forget Jesus Christ, our Lord, if we put him on a back burner in our lives and neglect him and eventually forget him, you talk about getting in a bad condition, we're going to get in that in this life. I want you to listen with me this morning in Revelation chapter 3 as we read about a church that had forgotten the Lord. You know why Christ gave the church the bread and the wine and communion? You know why he did that? To help us remember him. Jesus said, "As oft as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of the pastor." No, my friends, do it in remembrance of me. When you drink this wine, he says, do it in remembrance of mom and dad. No, do it in memory of me. Because Jesus Christ knew if we forget him, our lives are going to be in chaos. Many a child of God has forgotten their Lord in the daily activities of life, caught up in the hustle and the bustle of a busy world. We forget our Lord Jesus Christ. And here is a whole church that had forgotten him. I'm talking about the whole congregation, evidently, had forgotten that Jesus Christ was their Savior and their Lord. And so listen, if you will, to what Jesus says to this church. the church of the Laodiceans. He says in verse 20 of Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Now what is Jesus saying to that church at Laodicea? And it was His church. This is not a false church or an antichrist church. This is a church of Asia that Jesus Christ recognized. It was the planting of His own right hand. It was His church. And yet His church has forgotten Him. So He says to that church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." In the letter that Franklin mentioned the other day that a man wrote me from Warner Robins, he brought up that verse and he said, the Bible says that Jesus stands at the heart of every man. He stands at the heart of every man and knocks and wants to come in and give him eternal life. But he says, you've been preaching and teaching on the radio that if Jesus wants to save him, he'll just take the door down and come in and save him against his will. Well, I believe that's right as far as saving him eternally is concerned. I want to ask you a question today. If you went up to a man's house and he was dead, how long would you have to knock on that door before that man could get up and let you in? Now, if there's a man or a woman in there and they're dead, my friends, you can knock till your knuckles bleed, but they'll never respond. A dead man couldn't get up and let you in. Well, you think Jesus Christ would knock at the heart of a dead alien sinner? No. This is not a picture of Jesus Christ knocking at the heart of a dead alien sinner wanting to come in to give him eternal life. This is the picture of a man or a church that has forgotten the Lord.
Amen.
They're caught up in themselves and their own activities. And they've forgotten that Jesus Christ is everything to them. And he's shut out, and they've become carnal and vain, and they're not hearing the gospel, and their pure minds are not being stirred up. Oh, I felt a little of that this week in my own life as I felt far from the Lord. You know, when you get so busy, you can neglect your prayers and your Bible study and things of that nature. Oh, my friends, it's not long before the fire has burned low in your life, spiritually. That's why Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God which is in thee. I tell you, the fire that burns in our soul this morning, a fire of zeal and commitment and devotion to Christ, is like the fire in the fireplace. Friends, you have to keep putting wood on it and punching it up and keeping it burning. And when we come to God's house, hopefully, the man of God throws another log on the fire and punches us up and stirs up our pure minds and causes us once again to love our Lord and to love the best friend that we've ever had in time or eternity and recognize that I should commit my entire being to Jesus Christ the Lord. I tell you, when people come to church and they don't leave with more zeal and determination to serve Christ, that something's failed. That worship service has been a flop.
Amen.
Well, here is a church where the fire just about gone out. And Jesus wasn't even in the church. I know He wasn't because He was on the outside knocking. If you heard a knock at that door right now, and you looked over there and you didn't see anybody, what would that tell you? That there's somebody on the outside. And if they're on the outside, they're not in here. Isn't that right?
Amen.
But they're wanting to come in. Well, Jesus was knocking at the door of this church. What does that tell us? That tells us He wasn't even in the church in Laodicea. You talk about a pitiful church. A church, my friends, where Christ wasn't even in their midst. You know what a church is without Jesus Christ? It's like a river without any water in it.
Amen.
Or it's like a heaven without a sun to shine. It's like a body without a head. Or a bride at the altar without a groom. It's like a building without a foundation. The church without Christ is nothing.
Amen.
And here is the Laodicean church so caught up in themselves. You know what they said about themselves? They said, "We are rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing." They were in the intensive care unit spiritually, friends, and they were just about gone.
Amen.
Now that's right. They were in bad, bad shape. Rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. I guess I would include Christ. They didn't even need Christ. And so here He is knocking at the door, and they forgot about Him. What that church needed was a preacher to stir them up.
Amen.
And remind them what they were without Christ. And point them to Christ. And show them that Christ is everything. He's our all in all. He's everything in your life and in my life.
Right.
What would we be today without Christ? I tell you what we'd be. We'd be lost sinners on our way to everlasting hell forever and ever.
Amen.
That's what we'd be.
Amen.
And because of Christ, you and I have been saved by His marvelous grace. Our sins have been remitted through His precious blood. We've been washed whiter than snow. And now, my friends, we are destined for heaven and eternal glory to be with Jesus and the redeemed of all ages, my friends. Listen, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heaven will be ours someday for all eternity. And we'll sing the song of the redeemed and be happy forevermore. And without Christ, we'd be in a burning hell for eternity. Do you think you and I ought to forget Jesus Christ?
No,
I don't think so.
No,
I don't. That would be to me the greatest crime you and I could commit.
Right.
To be ungrateful, to be unthankful, to forget Him. I heard the story of a man. They were going to give a boy a big birthday party. 21 years of age, entering manhood. And they were going to give him this big party. It was his party. The only reason the party was being given was because of him. Had a band to play and the food was all catered and they'd rented a beautiful hall. And why, what a magnificent party it was. And at 12 o'clock they were going to sing Happy Birthday to the young man. Got to looking for him and found out he wasn't even there. Hadn't been there all evening. He was in the hospital. He'd had an accident and didn't even make it to his own party. Now everybody's having such a big time they didn't even miss the fella. Now you know, that describes a lot of churches.
Amen.
We get together, we have a big time.
Amen.
And maybe we've even forgotten the guest of honor.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you and I won't ever be guilty of that.
Right.
Let's have our pure minds stirred up. Thank God today, my friends, for the gospel. And if you keep it in memory, it'll save you from being unthankful, ungrateful. It'll save you from despondency. It'll save you from getting into sins that you shouldn't get into. It'll save you from gossip. It'll save you from bitterness. It'll save you from resentment. The gospel just saves you.
Amen.
If you'll keep it in memory.
Amen.
May God bless you, and I thank you for your attention.